Christian life is not meant to be a mere dip in the pool. Our generous God offers a wellspring of eternal blessings for those who accept His love and forgiveness. Northgate Church is a community where believers are encouraged to wholeheartedly follow Christ and fully experience God's goodness. A new message series presents 7 ways to go all in through baptism, welcoming, serving, group life, giving, inviting, and sharing our stories. Here's today's message.
Morning, church. I'm Pastor Vern. It's good to be with you this morning in worship. We are wrapping up a series we called All In. The premise of the series is that God is inviting us to be all in with Him. That's the picture represents this really well. Once you've left that cliff, there's no going back, right? You are going into that water and you are going all in. And that's what God says to us. Come on, all in and enjoy all that God has for you. Don't hold back. And so we're wrapping that up today, and I'm actually not going to be speaking a whole lot during this message. Instead, we have some stories from members of our congregation that we want to share with you. We have been asking people if they would be willing to come in and do a video testimony, if they have something they'd like to share with the church. We will speak with them and help them to kind of put that together and then videotape it so that we can let everybody hear it. And we have several of those stories today. We're going to hear from 2 individuals and our prayer team as well. Every follower of Jesus has a story to tell, and every story matters. And you'll hear these stories today, but I really want to stress this point that we all have a story to tell. Whatever our journey with God has been, if we are in relationship with Christ, we have a story. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family and you've always known the love of Jesus through your family, and that's something that has been a blessing to you all of these years. That's your story. And what God has done in your life is your story. Maybe you've come from a rough place. Maybe you've come from some pretty difficult circumstances. Maybe you've experienced real tragedy in your life. But God has seen you through, and He is walking with you through that. That's your story. Whatever your story is, we would love to hear it. We have others that we have videotaped, but we are always happy to sit down with more people and get more of those stories, because it really blesses the congregation when people hear from more than just the pastors. You know, sometimes people look at the pastors and they say, well, they got to say that stuff. They're the pastor, you know, I get that. It can be really powerful to hear from somebody who's sitting in the seats and says, this is what God has been doing in my life. And this is how I've experienced the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. So if you have something you'd like to share with people, please let one of the pastors know. We would love to talk to you. But let's get right to the first story. This is Elizabeth is going to share her story. You may know Elizabeth if you check children in. She is often behind the kids' check-in desk. Today, Elizabeth isn't going to be with us because she's getting married today. So we're happy for Elizabeth. But 4 years ago, Elizabeth gave birth to Jonah, and I'll let her share the rest of that story.
I remember waking up the day after my son Jonah passed away, and as usual, the first thing I do is pull my phone out and read through Facebook. And my mom's Facebook post, just hours after my son went to see Jesus, she wanted to tell the world and our friends that we had survived and we were okay. But she said that the house was quiet, that the G-tube wasn't beeping, that there was no IV infusion complete, but also that it was quiet, that there were no children laughing, no baby giggles, no puking. But the second part she wrote was, "Great is thy faithfulness." And ever since he was diagnosed, that was our anthem and our prayer and our hope And from the very beginning, from the first words when the doctor said, "Your son has a brain tumor," that was our prayer. It hadn't even been 12 hours since we left the hospital empty-handed. I got up, I walked to the kitchen, like completely numb. I didn't want coffee. I didn't want anything but my running shoes. I wanted to go outside and hit the road with sunglasses so I could cry and run. On my run, there's this tiny little church that Rosalina passes me on early in the morning sometimes when I'm running, and it's tiny and it's full gospel and it's beautiful. There are crosses in the yard and lilies in the field. And I got there and I just couldn't run anymore. And I just laid on the steps of this church and wept. And there is no brokenness that you feel, no gut punch that you feel, like knowing that you said goodbye to someone you gave birth to. And so I sat there and I cried. And I remember my dad saying that was a really long run. And I was like, no, it wasn't. It was a lot of crying and a little running. You make all these decisions that you shouldn't ever have to make for a 21-month-old. Which outfit in his closet do I want to bury him in? What songs do I want to play that I know I'll hate for the rest of my life when I play them or hear them again? I want to choose songs that honor him and worship the God whose arms he is in now, but I don't want to make these decisions. But don't unravel. Feel really hollow. I felt so hollow until I sat down to write his eulogy, because I didn't want anyone else to do it, because no one else could tell about his life like his mom. So I wanted it to be me. And it was only then I think I really felt the glimmer of why this was all okay. You remember when you made the decision to stop artificial respiration? You remember that moment when you looked across the room at your brother, my brother, and asked him to command your son's presence to the God of creation, which is a pretty powerful thing, something you don't want to think about doing, but it reminds you that it's okay, and that your baby, who really never got to the point where he was sinning. I mean, I suppose that's a theological debate, but he was pretty perfect. Now he is absolutely perfect. He can see, and he's in the arms of the God of creation. These are the things to remember right now. Remember when he first got sick and you told your mom that no matter what, God would be honored? Or months ago when you told her that you wouldn't let anything happen to destroy the testimony of the Jesus who you know and trusted, no matter what happened. And so I wrote the eulogy for the love of my life, who gave me life when I wandered from the faith of my childhood, whose very name the Lord whispered in my ear in the North Gate Sanctuary. I remember being in the sanctuary at the end of worship, and he was like, "Your son is Jonah." And I literally got in the car and I went directly to Michael's and got letters and spray painted them, and they were on the wall within 3 hours because I felt so strongly that that was his name. Remember his commission when you're writing this. You got 21 months and 5 days with this beautiful boy. And if anyone got to be his mom, it was you. God chose you to be the amazing, privileged mother of this baby who never fussed, ever cried during chemo, waking up from surgery. The nurses loved him. He would puke, and in the same breath, he would be laughing. Write the story of his life and remember that there are those who may not have heard the gospel, and they will hear it because they want to come and give testament to the story, the short life that he had. There is a Mercy Me song, Even If, and I feel like they wrote it for me. I know he's able and I know he can save through the fire with his mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, give me the strength to say, it is well with my soul. These are the things that were in my head, knowing that there would be people I'd worked with for 15 years sitting there hearing the gospel for the first time, and what a powerful place to hear it. For 1 minute, I don't think God is any less God because I didn't get to keep my son. Sin breaks us down, breaks down us to our very genes that make us who we are. We don't get to choose the genes we get. We only get to choose how we praise him when the storm rages. I made the promise when he got sick that I would lay on my face literally wherever we were every night and ask God to heal him. And some nights it was home, and some nights it was the hospital or a hotel or the ICU floor. And the ICU floor is pretty gross, so you would always find a blanket because you didn't want to just lay on the ICU floor. But not for 1 minute do I think that any of those prayers fell on deaf ears, because Jesus has Jonah with him and not with me right now. In the days, months, and years, almost two now, that have followed his homecoming, I have gotten to praise God's name through Jonah's story to hundreds of people in a convention center and in quiet hallways at work. God has used me in so many ways I never would have been able to be used in before.
God calls us to go all in with him, to make that commitment, to give him all that we are and all that we have and all that comes to us. We don't normally expect something like this, but that's what it means to be all in, to be completely committed to God, to trust him even if we go through those kinds of experiences, those kinds of difficulties in our life. Do you know where the phrase "even if" comes from in that Mercy Me song? If I mention the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would that help you to know where that comes from? It comes from when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel are about to go into the blazing furnace, and they are given an opportunity to deny God and worship the king, and they can avoid that, and they say, "We won't do it. We won't do that. We know God can save us from this, but even if he chooses not to, we're still going to praise him." That's being all in. It reminds me of what Paul says. The Apostle Paul wrote this book of Philippians from jail, and he says this in Philippians 1. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." And then he says something about these preachers who are doing it for selfish motives and not really for true intent. But he then says this in verse 18, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." Because of this, I rejoice. When we're all in with God, we rejoice because God is faithful, because we have the opportunity to praise Christ even in the midst of our hardships, struggles, and trials. That's Elizabeth's testimony. Many of you have a very similar kind of testimony. This next one's a little bit different. This gentleman you would know if you've ever driven into our parking lot, which I assume most of you came in by car today. I know some came by bicycle, but if you've driven into our parking lot, chances are you've encountered Jose Rene, and this is his testimony.
Thank you. right, so for those who don't know me, my name is Jose Rene. I've been coming to Northgate since October of 2004. My journey with God has been, His grace has saved me from addiction. My background goes like this. I was addicted to alcohol for 31 years. I was addicted to heroin for 28 years. And I finally came to my bottom while I was living in abandoned homes in Rochester. So I went through treatment through the VA system, being discharged as a vet, honorable vet. I was allowed to go through the VA system. I ended up in Batavia through a relationship that was formed. And I could see where God been playing a part in all this because I grew up inner city Rochester. I don't have a police record. And that within itself is amazing. I got addicted to the substances. I end up in Batavia. And I come to Northgate through a relationship I built, came to Northgate, 2004. I received a very good welcome from Steve Clem, and I remember that. The sermon on that day was on grieving, which I had just been going through grieving. I just lost my stepfather. And, you know, I've been coming here ever since. My relationship with the church, as most of you know, is pretty healthy. I really enjoy being outside. Not so much in the winter, but I still like doing what I'm doing. Just to go back a little bit of my history, my moment of surrender came while I was at a detox unit. And the third night after I had taken the last dose of methadone, I just went in there and just let it out. Dear Lord, please help me. And amazing thing happened. The next day, I did not go through any withdrawals without taking the medication. And it was there and then that I could feel the power of God, because it's just a miracle that after all those years of using abuse of heroin, I don't need methadone after this time. Love my growth with the church and the church family that I've built here. Actually, I was just telling Anthony that Wednesday, the 20th of June, I will be celebrating 15 years clean and sober from substances due through the grace of God. At this church, I was one of the people who helped form the Celebrate Recovery Group, which is a recovery-based group on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the fellowship that I choose to attend. That program is very helpful, not only for substances, but for any hurt, habit, and hang-up you might have. My zest and my love to grow with God doesn't stop because I know that without God, I am nothing. Because that's what I was before I came here. Even though I grew up in a spiritual home, I did not grow up in a type of environment where God was brought to the table every day. You know, I still go to my AA meetings on a regular basis. I try to do my best to be the best man I could be today. You know, today I'm not the man I want to be, but I'm not the man I used to be. And for me, that is a great measure of hope and success. You know, I took the word hope one day while I was working. I work as a counselor, substance abuse counselor, and I came up with an acronym, helping others purify their existence, because that's what somebody did for me. They helped me purify my existence, show me who I am. God wants me to be a servant, so I'm trying to do my best to be of service to God and to those around me. My favorite verse is Psalm 46:10, which states, "Be still and know that I am God, that I will be exalted throughout the nations, I will be exalted throughout the world." My church family is very important to me. I have made a lot of good friends. One of the things that I joke about with people is that a lot of people come to our church and I know very few people by names. So, but it's still a great place to be. The music is awesome. I love the relationship that I've made with people and the relationship I make with God every Sunday when I come to church. That, if anybody ever needs any help, any talking about substances, I'm always open. I'm always free to talk to anybody I could help. Because I truly believe, I told Pastor Greg this before he left, oh, I figured this out. This must be my God calling to be a substance abuse counselor. Thank you very much.
Renee used the word surrender in his testimony. It's a big word, surrender, and it's the thing that gets in the way for a lot of us when we're wrestling with something like an addiction or a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, is the willingness to surrender it to God, to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I'm not succeeding. I'm not winning. I give this up to you. I offer myself to you. Whatever you want to do in me, Lord, you bring it. And you do what I can't do without you. And, you know, that's one of the things that gets in the way for some of us of going all in with God. We just don't want to surrender those things, whatever it is. It might, for a lot of us, it's simply pride. We don't want to admit to ourselves or to other people or to God that we are wrestling, we are struggling, we're not making it. But we have to get to that point of being able to surrender. You know, when you take the leap off that cliff, you know, you've surrendered. there's no going back, right? You are all in at that point. And that's what Renee's testimony makes me think about. He also talked several times about the grace of God. And so this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10, came to mind. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. God's passion is to pour his grace out on us. It's his desire to change our lives by his grace. We just need to be willing to say, God, I surrender. I am completely at your disposal. Well, there's one more video that we want to share, and this is the team, the prayer team, that was involved in that incident a few weeks ago. If you aren't familiar with that, very briefly, they were out walking on a Wednesday night, praying out behind our building here at the Woods, and encountered a man who was not well. He was under the influence of methamphetamines and other things, and he threatened their lives. They'll tell more of that story. I do want to mention, just so you understand, Rosalina is going to mention the name Paul. Paul is the individual that they encountered, and so when she says we want to pray for him, that's what she's referring to. But here's their testimony.
Oh, great, wonderful church. We are so amazing. Our God is alive, and we continue living because his mercy is, his power is amazing. We are, it's every minute thinking that we know, and I've been going through a lot during my life, but since I came to the Lord, I was rescued from earthquake, I was rescued from four miscarriage, I was rescued from domestic violence. I'm here because God told me don't go anywhere, to stay with my family, and I'm so glad that I had this beautiful family. We love you, and we continue praying and lifting up our pastors that they're going through all these situations, and continue working and praying to God for mercy for Paul up there in prison. So thank you so much. We love you. It's been amazing, the support that we have for our church. So we are alive only because the mercy of God and the bubble that he put around us when we was running and having my stick. I just love it. So thank you so much. We love you guys and continue praying. Amen.
Hello, Northgate. I'm Susie and this is Louie. And we are part of the prayer team that goes for the walk on Wednesdays. We started, I think last spring maybe, and then went through the winter. And when the weather got nice, we were so happy that we were blessed to be able to walk outside on the paths. As you all know, we had an incident last Wednesday, Louie and I and Angelique and Rosalina. It was weird. We normally only do two rounds, and it got to be about 10 of 7, and we decided we were having such a good time praying for everything that could possibly be on anyone's hearts, for our church, our community, our country, our own personal things, anybody that we know that's having a problem, that's telling us So we were like, let's do one more time. Let's just do it. And the clouds were kind of dark, and we had just made the funny joke that if it started to rain, Louie could only carry two people, and Angelique said that was okay because she was going to run if it started to rain. So we started down into the woods, and that's when the craziness happened. And at the first pass, just with my background, I don't think it would take much if someone else saw that face. I knew that we were in trouble. And, you know, he was threatening to kill us all. Every word out of his mouth was profanity. Louis suggested we hop into the woods behind the trees because he was trying to run us down with his car. And then when he got down around a tree at the path, he threatened to shoot us all and to kill us all. And that's when we knew we had to get out. I normally always have my cell phone with me, and it was home charging because the battery was low, and I was praying that Louis had his. He did. So we had him call 911 as he was running with them. We got into the clearing out of the woods, and we saw him come out of the woods and just take off after us. And I still, to this date, don't know how he missed any of us. And we've shared our story with other people, and until you see it in the video, and the video is only kind of the last part, it was horrifying. And I can tell you that God was with us. Like, yes. We were running, but it was almost kind of a calm run, if that makes sense, because I just knew that we were doing his work. He was keeping us safe. I have a bum leg with some stuff going on, and I don't know how he kept these legs running. And at one point, you know, I stopped and looked to see Angelique was ahead of me. She's younger, she can run fast. She was ahead of me, and I looked for them, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm gonna see Louis and Rosalina be hit by a car. And they were missed. And God just like scooted them out. It gives me goosebumps just to think about it. You know, we want this walk to be glory to God. He was there. If anybody ever questions, I can tell you, he was there. His armor was on us all the way. And, you know, we are trying to share our story not to be about us because we prayer walk, but to be about God, because he can control everything. He's in control of everything. And just don't give up. If there's something in your life that's going on that you think God isn't going to answer your prayers, please just keep praying, because he will do it. He's a busy guy. And that's one thing we said when we were walking was, you're a busy guy. I don't know how you do it all. And I stomped my stick because we had new walking sticks and said we need a Christian revival. And I'm hoping that maybe tonight we'll start some of that, because this world is a crazy place. It can be very scary. I'm sure we've all had scary things. One thing you have to remember that I sometimes forget is that everybody has a story in their life. So that's just one thing. We always try to say thank you, God, for everything and for being there. And we just want to thank everybody who was able to come out to the prayer walk, and for everyone who's staying inside the church to pray. Just thank you so very much.
Hi, Northgate. I'm Angelique, and I'm part of that prayer team. Well, if you were to ask me what I learned from last Wednesday, I learned that Christ is enough. That his blood and what he did on the cross was enough. And what he has given us, the power in his name, is more than enough. And he is true, and he is faithful, and he will never leave you or forsake you. So like Susie said, don't give up. Press on. Go all in. Because I promise you, you will not regret it. He is faithful to do more than you could ask or imagine.
Susie referenced the prayer meeting the week after the incident on the prayer walk. We did have a prayer gathering. Many of you were there. We had about 150 people come out to celebrate God's faithfulness to take care of them during that, but also to rededicate the prayer walk and our property to the Lord. And to say, we are not going to be afraid to lift up the name of Christ. Whatever comes our way, we are going to praise God And the prayer team has actually grown since then. So that's one of the good things that God has brought out of this, is that there are more people coming together on Wednesday night. And you're all invited Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock, to join those people. Some pray here if they can't walk, and others go out on the walk when the weather's good. So the verse that came to my mind after listening to their testimony is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. God is at work. Our part is to join Him in what He's doing. So let us not quench the Spirit. Instead, let's go all in with God, no matter what comes our way, letting God take control, giving thanks in all things.